I'm ready to take the next step.
I'm ready for a university that will help me advance in my education and career.
A university that will make me feel supported and connected.
I'm ready for ODU Online.
Click this ad or go to online.odu.edu today.
Blog Talk Radio.
Today's episode of the Sacktown Royalty Show is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider in spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want.
It's the Sacktown Royalty Show. Here's your host, Greg Whittingham.
Welcome to the Sacktown Royalty Show. I'm your host, Greg Whittingham. Flying solo this week. I didn't have an opportunity to line up a guest, but obviously we had the first game of the season. There's a lot to talk about. I want to make sure we still did a quick show. Won't be as long as usual, and definitely let me know, give me feedback on whether or not you like this approach. If I can't line up a guest, is it better for me to do a solo show where you have to listen to me drone on for 20 minutes or so? Or is it better for me to just skip it until I can get someone lined up to talk with, to where we can have actual insights from someone who knows what they're talking about instead of me? In the meantime, we're going to carry on with this experiment, and I'm just going to talk about my impressions from the game, the questions I have, the things I'll be looking for over the coming week now that we're finally in the NBA regular season. And let's just start off by saying it. Man, it is great to have Kings basketball back. There's a lot of excitement around this season, and even though the Kings lost to the Clippers on Wednesday, I think the excitement was justified. I know that we are all tired of hearing the old trope of, you know, it was an exciting loss or a loss with some promising things in there that we can be excited about, and I'm tired of saying that too. Don't get me wrong. That being said, it was a fun game. The Kings came out and played like crap for a while. I mean, they were not playing well, and suddenly the bench came in and fixed everything, which I remember that happening like one time last season. It was towards the very end of the year, and it was a stunning aberration. It didn't happen very often. But the bench came in on Wednesday against the Clippers and immediately had high energy, immediately made an impact on the game, got the crowd back into it, and that was the case every time that Carl went to the bench. And that's exciting to see. The Kings truly have a bench for the first time in a while. Now, there's obviously a lot of questions since some guys on the bench played so well. Darren Collison, for example, played amazing. I mean, he came in, he ended up playing 30 minutes in the game. So he's, even if he's coming off the bench, I think that's going to be the status quo for the season. I think he's going to be that spark plug guy if he stays in the bench role. But the question, personally, I won't be surprised if it's a long time before we see Collison starting. I think that Rondo would actually have to be far worse than he was on Wednesday. And the reason I say it is just because of how good Collison is when he comes off the bench and provides that punch. I think when you look at the way that the lineups are constructed, it's not necessarily that you're going to build your starting five with your best five players. You're going to build units that can complement one another. When we look at what it takes to be successful for the Kings in their starting unit, having a point guard who isn't going to score a lot, but who's going to get Rudy Gay involved early, who's going to get DeMarcus Cousins involved early, and even to a lesser extent, a guy who can feed the ball to, you know, Ben McLemore, a guy who historically has needed the ball early to be effective. Whether or not he's good enough to deserve getting the ball early is a totally different question. We'll get to him in just a minute, but it's really, I think that having a pass-first point guard like Rondo is beneficial for the Kings and what they have in guys like Gay and Cousins who really do need the ball to be effective and guys who deserve to have the ball a lot. And then when you're giving them a breather, you bring in guys like Collison and Marco Bellinelli and just give them the green light knowing that they're not going to take anything away from your starters and your stars. I think it's okay to have them split up that way, even if we have a number of games like last night where Rondo and Ben McLemore were not very effective at all. They both really struggled. I think it was the third quarter before Ben McMahon hit his first shot. And they finished with, I had the box score up. See, this is the disadvantage of flying solo. I can't just turn it over to someone else while I check my stats here. Okay, so Grondo and McMahon finished with a combined 9 points. Collison on his own had 13. Bellinelli on his own had 9. Obviously, people are going to start to question, do you replace Rondo and McLemore in the starting lineup with Bellinelli and Collison? But then what does that leave you on the bench? I mean, if your bench unit, you know, let's say, for example, your bench unit is now Rondo, McLemore, Caspi, you know, maybe Caron Butler in there. So Caspi at the 4, Butler at the 3, and Kostakuva's like, is that a bench you need to get excited about? No, those are a lot of guys who fit well in other areas. So as we transition over to Ben McLemore, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he loses his starting job this year. If he doesn't turn it around, at what point do you run out of patience? I mean, Ben McLemore, he had a really, really bad rookie year. Last year, he surprised everyone. I mean, most of us at this time last year had expected Nick Stauskas to steal the starting job from day one, and we thought he should. Well, obviously Stauskas struggled. He's no longer here. Ben McLemore had a much better year, but he did so still on a pretty bad team overall. He had his moments. He hit his stride, and I considered myself a McLemore fan, but he looked lost all preseason, looked lost against the Clippers, and at a certain point, you have to wonder, okay, figuring out the system is one thing. Getting used to the new coach, the new roster and all that, you know, those are things that take a while. I mean, when you're going to go 2 for 5 from the field, 1 for 2 from 3, and, you know, I mean, one of his two makes was on a breakaway dunk. So if he's not a shooter like the Kings expected him to, at what point do they make a change? And now that they actually have talent to make a change, it wouldn't surprise me if it happened. If it doesn't, it's for those reasons I said before. It's the lineup. It's the way that the units work together. Now, the other big switch that I'm looking at, and I think a lot of folks had the same idea, is at some point I don't think we're going to see Kufis and Cousins starting next to each other. The idea of them next to each other is really nice, and I think there's definitely going to be nights when they still do. But, I mean, we kind of expected before the season started that Carl might play this matchup by matchup. You know, that if the Kings are going up against Memphis, yeah, it makes sense to start Cousins and Kuva so you have bodies to match up with Gasol and Zach Randolph. And I think the idea against the Clippers was, hey, you've got DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin. The problem, of course, that we saw was that Kufis could not guard Blake Griffin. I actually was a little surprised that they kept Kufis on Griffin instead of switching Cousins onto him. I know they want to keep Cousins out of foul trouble, but Cousins at least has the quickness to contest Blake a little bit better than what Kufis was doing last night. Cauley-Stein, as far as whether or not you wanted to see him more last night, it was his first NBA game. I don't think that – well, I think he may have given Blake Griffin a little bit more trouble. Still a rookie. Blake Griffin is going to be probably top 5 in MVP voting this year, if I had to guess. He's legitimately at that level where he's going to be in that conversation. And that's a tough assignment for your first true NBA game, you know, if we discount preseason. That being said, if we talk about the 8 minutes that Cauley-Stein did play, he looked good. He had good energy. He was active on defense. You know, he definitely looks like a rookie out there, but he looks like a well-polished rookie. I was really excited about what I saw from him. I think that we're going to enjoy having him around this season. But let's still take it slow. And I don't think Carl historically has never rushed a rookie in. I mean, the fact that Cauley-Stein got 8 minutes in his first game of his rookie season says a lot about Cauley-Stein as a player as it pertains to how he's impressed George Karl. So, you know, I'm excited about what the Kings have with their roster. we have a good problem, though. The Kings have a lot of good players, and Carl needs to figure out how they work best from a lineup perspective. So for these first week, for the first couple of weeks, it's going to be expected that we may see some odd lineups. We may see some mixes and matches that don't work. The key is going to be, can they figure it out? And I feel pretty confident that they can. That being said, I mean, the Kings hung with a very good Clippers team. The Clippers team, if they stay healthy, should be a top four team in the West. They have some excellent players who really know their roles. They definitely improved their bench. I mean, the bench wasn't great against Sacramento, but you can just tell. I mean, the talent is significantly upgraded over what they had on their bench last year. I mean, Jamal Crawford is an afterthought on that bench anymore, and he was Sixth Man of the Year, I think, 2 years ago. I mean, he's fallen off a little due to injury and age, but he's still – the fact that he's an afterthought on that bench lineup, they've improved quite a bit as far as their depth, and it's going to be a big difference. So the fact that the Kings didn't play well, still kept it a close game, made it their comeback push, took the lead in the fourth, and, you know, they fell apart in the final few minutes. But, I mean, they gave the Clippers everything they could, and the Clippers came out firing on all cylinders pretty quick. I mean, they didn't stumble out of the gate. So I think, again, going back to what I said at the top of the show, we're tired of hearing about encouraging losses, but this was definitely one of them. It's worth getting excited about. Also worth getting excited about, DeMarcus Cousins remains a beast. 32 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists. Of course, the big issue in that stat line, turnovers. A couple of them were ugly. The Kings were turning the ball over left and right. That's got to stop. Some of that could be familiarity, not really knowing where people are going to be. You know, you don't have that sixth sense of where your teammates are on the floor at all times. Hopefully that'll develop, but they have got to cut down on the turnovers. Switching gears a little bit, got the Lakers coming up Friday night, and then the Kings will play the Clippers again. That should be fun to see how the Kings adjust. George Karl, he's good at making adjustments, but once he gets his mindset on something, he normally doesn't adjust too quickly. So I'm curious to see if he'll change his approach against the Clippers, or if he still thinks he had the right approach and the Kings just need to execute better. But, you know, we don't want to necessarily overlook the Lakers. The Lakers aren't going to be good, but they're not the joke that they were last year. They've got a lot more talent. They lost to the Timberwolves, who the Timberwolves also are not going to be a very good team this year. The Lakers did lose their opener against the Timberwolves. They missed a game-winning layup, essentially, by Lou Williams. Kobe Bryant still took more attempts than D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle combined. So they're still kind of the same old Lakers, but they aren't to be overlooked. If the Kings overlook them, that's a bad thing. The Kings will lose that game if they don't take it seriously. I'm excited to see the Kings come out, and hopefully they do take it seriously and they beat an opponent that they should beat. That's been an issue sometimes over the past few years, that the Kings wouldn't really get up for the games that they should easily win. Hasn't traditionally been an issue with George Karl team, so I'm curious to see how Friday night will go. But, I mean, hey, we get to knock out three of our – I mean, our first three games are against teams from L.A. that we don't really like, so it just kind of adds a little something to the start of the year. You know, I mean, we're already excited, but, you know, if you can take some wins from the L.A. teams, it's always even better. On that note, not only do we hate the Clippers, DeMarcus Cousins hates the Clippers, and he's not afraid to say so, and I love it. I don't really pay too much attention to, you know, the Talking Head TV shows that are out there, so I don't know if there was much of a backlash against it. Everything I've seen from Kings fans is pretty positive. I think most of the national media that I saw online just found it amusing. It's kind of a fun soundbite, and it's refreshing when a player actually says something honest. So I thought it was awesome. I think it's a perfect thing for DeMarcus Cousins to say, and I don't think it's a front. I think he genuinely hates them. You didn't need him to tell you that he hates them for it to be obvious. So I thought that was pretty great. The last thing I was going to touch on here this evening before we wrap up, like I said, it's going to be a shorter show, is that Vivek has a robot army now, which I mean, if he's going to become an evil genius who takes over the world, I think his, you know, R2-D2 looking robots, the Nightman robots, I'm still not entirely clear on what they do. Someone said that they pick up on like voice tones or hand gestures and they can alert security. Why not? I mean, it gives the national pundits something else to make easy jokes about, but I thought it was kind of fun. If you have an experience, please go to Sacktown Royalty. Go to this post for the podcast. Let me know your interaction with the robots, the security robots. This is assuming that there's any survivors from those interactions. But, yeah, let me know. I'm curious. I have no idea what they are, if they're doing anything or if they're just there to look cool. Personally, I'm in favor of something that just sits there and looks cool. I mean, sorry, I was going to make a joke about a guy who just sat on our bench and looked cool for a long time, but I didn't really have a good joke there. Oh, Jimmer? I don't know. Anyway, that's going to do it. I'm going to wrap up because I am not accustomed to talking this long without someone else smart giving me something to comment on. So, again, I'm curious about your feedback. I wanted to try this out. Let me know what you think. If I'm not able to line up a guest on a particular week, would you prefer that I can keep doing things like this just to, so that we do consistently have shows? If you like this, I will do it. If you don't like it, I'm more than happy not to. So let me know what you think. Go to the comments at Sacktown Royalty. Leave us those comments. And, of course, you know, always subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe wherever podcasts are sold. And leave us rating. Leave us comments. Let us know how we're doing. Appreciate all of your feedback. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Get a free audiobook and 30-day trial today by signing up at www.audibletrial.com/Sacktown Royalty. That's www.audibletrial.com/Sacktown Royalty.
I'm ready to make my credits count.
I'm ready to take classes from a university that will help me build on my experience to prepare me for the future.
A university that will make me feel supported, encouraged, and connected.
Click this ad or go to online.odu.edu today.
I'm ready to make my credits count.
I'm ready to take classes from a university that will help me build on my experience to prepare me for the future.
A university that will make me feel supported, encouraged, and connected.
Click this ad or go to online.odu.edu today.